scouting offensive linemen, really regardless of its tackle, guard, center, there are a few things that you look for when evaluating that position. First of all, you've got to be able to focus in on the natural athleticism and the bend.
In the NFL, you can win a lot of battles initially, but there's going to be a counter move, there's going to be some kind of stunt or line game, and the ability to bend your knees and adjust is really maybe the most important physical characteristic for an offensive lineman.
You can't be a waistbender, and we see that a lot at the college level. Guys who have a nice first punch, but against counter moves to either side, they can't sustain and mirror laterally from the waist down. And so they start bending at the waist, when really you need to bend at the knees, even bend at the ankles, get in a better leverage position, and stay in front of your pass rusher.
And also, if you have bend, there's a good likelihood that you're able to, even if jacked up initially by a powerful bull rush, you're able to re-sync your hips and regain your kind of natural base, and then explode from there with the hips and the lower body strength that you work so hard at as an offensive lineman.
I want a guy that's not going to get beat with power. Ideally, you want him to have that athletic ability. That's what you'd shoot for, to have the athletic ability plus the toughness. But the NFL, there's a lot more tough guys that are athletically limited that are surviving at the offensive line, and there's a lot of athletic guys with no toughness or strength that wash out. So I put a special emphasis on toughness and strength.
And let's face it, I love offensive linemen who treat it like a defensive mentality. When you come in and you get blocked, I love seeing guys bury a guy and finish him. I love seeing guys, you know, when they get that extra shot in, they're going to go ahead and take it and let you know it's going to be like that all day long.
Does he battle? Does he fight? Because sometimes offensive line, you lose technique. It's not always a pretty position. You're looking for the guy that can compete, and guys get beat. So you want to see how they respond to that. Do they totally lose all their technique and in a sense fall down and give up, or do they battle?
And I like versatility out of these guys. I like guys who can play multiple positions. Whether you're a tackle, can you slide inside and play some guard? If you're a guard, can you play center? Can the center slide out and play the other positions? Because we're only going to dress in seven each week. So that's only two that you've got when injuries happen. So you've got to be able to play multiple positions as you go.
Okay, let's talk about now the most important position on the offensive line, the left tackle.
What you have to look for when you look at an offensive tackle is you've got to see his lateral movement and agility. Now, there's many techniques and fundamentals that can be taught. So if you watch a guy in college and you see his first step, what we call a kick slide, that's not terrific, you don't disregard a player because of that. He can be taught that. Another thing you look for, but this is coachable, is you look for hand movement.
I think so many times you see, and sometimes it can work to a player's advantage if they're not great with their hands, but you see a powerful punch and you see potential there, and you get with a good offensive line coach in the NFL, they can make you a lot better. But where your hand placement is so important, because if you're bending right and you're moving and keeping a good base, keeping great balance, and then you have your hand leverage right, odds are you're going to wind up succeeding.
And usually what you try to do is find a player in your past that he reminds you of, and that's a pretty good indicator about where you ought to draft him.
If you can get a prototype at one of these positions, then you have in your mind's eye what a legitimate Hall of Fame left tackle looks like. And we drafted Jonathan Ogden in Baltimore when I was there in 1996. And then when I was in Cleveland, we drafted Joe Thomas in 2007. And those are two of the best that have played. And I think in your mind's eye, if you know what one looks, once you draft one, then you know what the rest of them should look like. And to me, that is a part of it.
When I watched Lane Johnson at Oklahoma, the first thing that stood out was how athletic he was, how he moved his feet. In fact, athletically, he was the best offensive tackle in the draft.
I mean, the guy was as quick an offensive lineman as you can expect to see at the tackle position. He had the nastiness that you want to see, and I thought he had explosion in terms of his punch and his upper body. So all the traits were there, and I thought he made huge strides his final year at Oklahoma.
And then he gets to Philadelphia, where he started out as right tackle. They moved him from left tackle, which he predominantly played at Oklahoma. In Philadelphia, because of Jason Peters, he played right tackle. And it was fascinating to watch his development through the course of the year. For the first five or six, seven games, he played very similarly to the way he played at Oklahoma. Flashes of great athletic movement, but also you saw the problems because his technique wasn't very good. You'd see him get beat by lesser athletes rushing the quarterback. And then all of a sudden, it was so noticeable on tape, the athleticism kicked in. He played that way. You can look at him now and say that he could play right tackle. He could play left tackle down the road. He could play either tackle position.
Yeah, there's no real difference anymore between left tackles and right tackles. And I know we saw plenty of left tackles in college taken as right tackles early on in their careers, and they're going to transition back and forth probably throughout their time in the NFL. But there are so many good pass rushers. They really have to have two quality tackles on either side.
I've talked to a lot of coaches who almost don't differentiate at all between the right tackle and the left tackle, because here's what they say. They say that you're going to help one tackle one way or the other in pass protection, because there's very few five-man pass protection concepts with just your O-line. Most teams, when they go with five-step or seven-step pass protections, they will help one side or the other. So it doesn't matter whether they help the right tackle or the left tackle. So the delineation that my left tackle has to be the dancing bear, the beautiful athlete, and my right tackle is the mauler and the grinder, that delineation is nowhere near as prevalent in today's NFL as it used to be. But just because you play tackle in college does not mean you'll play tackle in the NFL.
When you're trying to determine if a college tackle is going to stay a tackle in the NFL or be pushed in the guard, there are a couple of different things you look for. Obviously, size. NFL likes their tackles to be 6'4.5", 6'5", or taller. If a college tackle is 6'3", sometimes teams are automatically going to push him in. Arm size is another thing. You know, you want those guys who've got classically 35-inch arms, but the 30-inch arm college offensive lineman may struggle to stay at the tackle position in the NFL.
When you're looking at interior offensive linemen, the centers and guards, the first thing you want to look for is intelligence. They have, especially at center, he's usually the quarterback on your offensive line. Defenses are constantly jumping before the snap, trying to confuse the offensive lineman, and the center will have to make a series of checks. And if you're not a quick-thinking offensive lineman and can pick those things up and change on the fly, you're going to have a hard time playing in the NFL.
These are some of the most intelligent players you have on the field because things change on the fly for them. Being able to pick up blocking assignments, change that up when the quarterback audibles a play, being able to see it on the move where guys move, and now you know with your own communication, with your own offensive line, that things have to change and go from there. Yeah, that's a big part of it. Obviously, the ability to move nowadays. We do a lot of those zone runs, climb into the second level.
Just look at Jason Kelce coming out of Cincinnati.
Jason Kelce, you saw somebody that was very athletic as a lineman. You saw him, he could pull. He got up to the second, even the third level. His ability to adjust in space was special. Very athletic. But also his ability to quickly get his hands on guys and kind of jump set them and stall power rushers for a guy that wasn't that big. That was something that stood out when he studied him on tape there. So he's a guy, every now and then you have one of those players where you feel good about it, you think it's going to happen, you think it's going to pan out for him, and then he even exceeds your expectations, and that's what he's done in Philadelphia.
We talk more about flexibility and knee bend on the outside, but it's very important on the inside as well, because when you've got a 320-pound nose tackle that's decided that he's just going to bull rush, you've got to be able to bend, sink your weight, and set the bottom of the pocket. And I think with the way the game is being played now, yes, the edge rushers, you got to get them blocked up, but if the interior lineman, the guard center guard combo, can set the bottom of the pocket, then there's a place for the quarterback to step up.
And that's why possibly I think there's an argument to be made that interior offensive line is more important than the edge protectors.